bitch and sing along. Yeah. Rapping so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap song.
Good evening, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
Bringing you another episode of the podcast where we dive into topics that affect all of us, but are often unknown to most of us. And today's topic and title is the right to sue. And we're just going to jump right into the episode, Big Roop. And why did we decide to go with the topic entitled the right to sue?
I believe it's last week I heard about a situation where a victim of rape was forced to pay the rapist's family compensation, even though she was the victim of his crimes. And I thought that was kind of absurd. So I thought that would be a good topic for us to venture into.
Okay. So what is it you could tell our listeners? Because I'm sure that is an absurd topic. And I guess the first thing, if anybody hears it, would be like, what happened? Like, that doesn't make any sense. So what happened? That doesn't make any sense.
All right. Well, I don't have the particular subject's name. I do know this is the case that happened in Iowa. And in Iowa, before I even get to that, what basically happened is this young lady at the time was 15 years old. She was sex trafficked by a 37-year-old male who had her performing acts with different men. One day, I guess she decided she had enough and she was trying to escape. And she stabbed the sex trafficker over 30 times and killed him. She then was tried and she pled guilty to manslaughter. And according to Iowa law, if you cause the death of another person, you have to pay their estate compensation. So that's how the whole paying his estate $150,000 came up.
I see. So basically, she was the victim of just a very difficult life circumstance. And in freeing herself from that, she caused his death.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, for starters, I mean, we've talked on previous episodes about the justice system or injustice system. And I think we've talked about the spirit of the law. Because this one is probably leans in that direction. Because you can see where technically, you know, if you cause a death to somebody and their estate is eligible to be compensated, you can see where the letter of the law would say, well, you did this thing or whatever. I guess when we lean to the spirit of the law, that we're saying, okay, but I was a victim in the sense that I was put in a situation I didn't choose to be in. I could not get myself out of the situation without the action I took. And I didn't intend to necessarily cause the death of the person, but in an attempt to free myself, this happens. And I think that's where, in previous episodes, we talked about the spirit of the law, where sometimes you do the wrong thing for the right reason or the right thing for the wrong reason, or however it seems to work out. But the law can technically say you're wrong, but like, well, what else could I have done?
Well, this is one of those cases. This is exactly what happened. Some other states are more progressive in that they have laws or they have measures in place that if this is a trafficking incident or something where the person is violated, they can give them relief. Iowa is a state that doesn't have any of these things in place. And the judge said, even though he was totally against it, he had no choice but to impose the penalty on her because that was the law.
Right. Well, again, I think that's where, you know, we're talking about two different things here now. We're talking about some states have laws drafted that prevent certain situations from happening. And then I guess there are other circumstances where the law may be written a certain way, but it still can be open to some level of interpretation. I mean, every case, every judge is going to look at every situation differently. But there's some situations where the law is written a certain way, but the judge still does their best to interpreted as fair as possible, going back to the spirit of the law. So, like you said, why the laws are written away in Iowa is one conversation, right? Because that is the problem. The laws are written a certain way, and basically the trafficker in this situation was put out as the victim, right? Because he wound up being killed. But like you said, other states have laws written where if you're committing a certain crime and something was to happen to you, you don't have the same protections as an individual who's not committing those crimes.
Exactly. And yeah, why does it vary from state to state? Again, it depends, I guess, on what the legislature, you know, what laws they put out there or what their constituents, you know, agree to put out there. But that's what happened in this particular situation. Now, luckily for her, one of her ex-teachers started a GoFundMe, and all the expenses were actually covered by the GoFundMe because a lot of people were outraged by the you know, decision.
Wow. Well, definitely thank God for that teacher stepping up and other people stepping up to support her in the situation. And that shows you that certain things can be done sometimes. But I think we really, like you said, have to focus on, I mean, today's topic is the right to sue, because there is so much litigations in our society. And this doesn't necessarily fall into a pure lawsuit, but I guess it goes back to, again, the spirit of the law and the letter of the law, right? And why, not even why the law is what it is, right? I guess is what it is Iowa does now, because there's so much attention based on this case, at least in that area. And you'd hope that Iowa legislators would say, okay, what can we do to correct the situation or prevent this from happening again? Because that's part of the problem, right? The law was written one way, the situation happened, this girl was the victim, you know, of trafficking, but the law wasn't written to help her. So I guess going forward, you'd hope that the law, even if it wasn't her name, not to expose her, but just for her to be the inspiration for the laws to be changed to protect people like her.
I agree to 100%. I mean, it's bad enough that you are in a situation where, you know, your life is not your own and, you know, you're forced into crimes or have a situation where the crimes are perpetrated on you. And then you find a way to get out of the situation only to be re-penalized, because not only did she plead guilty to causing his death, the judge did set aside her sentence, but she's on 5 years probation.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
So if anything happens that the court doesn't like in the next 5 years, she can then be faced 20 years in jail.
Wow. Well, again, I think for us and the conversation today, the right to sue, again, I guess it's to really get to the heart of the matter. What is our legal system for? What is jurisprudence about? Is it really about using resources to get things you want done? Or is it really about applying the laws, the Bill of Rights, you know, the Constitution to protect us as citizens, right? Because if you look at it from that point of view, this young girl is a citizen of the United States of America. She was victimized by another citizen of the United States of America. And who should the laws protect, right? Should the law protect the victim, or should the law protect the person who has the resources to use the law? And that's a very fundamental question, because yes, we're talking about this particular case, this young girl, but we're also talking about the fact that many times criminals with resources or wrongdoers with resources don't get in trouble. And other times people who have no resources and yet aren't actually guilty of any hardened crime against society or other individuals, they just kind of fall through the cracks. And I guess this is an example of it, right? Because again, if you look at this young girl, basically she was raped, right? And basically she was put into a life of being a perpetual rape victim. And her only perceived means of escape was to kill somebody. And yet that's what the law focuses on, her commission of this crime of murder, not the fact that she was the victim of other crimes that led to the crime of murder. And again, I think on a grander scale, bigger than her, what's the purpose of the law? Why do we have laws?
I agree. And this is going to lead me back to something I think I heard years ago, which is that the law is very slow and capricious and to change. And it's also for general situations. A lot of times the law doesn't take into account specific situations where someone's able to manipulate the law to their own for their own well-being. So what I'm trying to say, I probably went around it a long way, is that, you know, basically the law is just general and depends on how the person is looking at it when they are applying the law. So again, in this case, the trafficker was perceived as the victim, even though he's the one that was actually perpetrating the crimes. And unfortunately, she took the measures that she did to get out of the situation, and she's perceived as a threat.
Well, I agree with that, but I think the language that we're using has to be very careful now, right? Because when we say take measures to do certain things to get out of situations, right? It's one thing to hit somebody with a stick and run. It's another thing to, I guess, beat somebody to a pulp. In the case of her, it's one thing to maybe stab somebody in the leg. It's another thing to stab them 30 times, right? So I don't think we can just kind of talk around certain things, because that's part of the problem. Like, for example, the self-defense part of the law is used usually to say that, okay, there was no other way for me to end this immediate situation. Not my lifestyle, not my burden of, quote-unquote, say, you're a kidnapped victim. You still can't, again, cut off somebody's head, right? Intentionally, I guess. And again, the reason I'm saying that, I guess, is one thing if you do an act and the head comes off. It's another thing if you intentionally do it. So the reason why I'm saying that now is going back to the letter of the law and the spirit of the law is that, you know, hitting somebody and them dying is different than you intentionally trying to kill them. Now, we can say why you intentionally tried to kill them. We can say that, okay, this person abused me for years and I just snapped. But the snap part of it isn't really a defense, because it's not really self-defense. It's not really a particular act. It's a process that you did. And that's why I said, I guess we just can't talk past it. She did what she needed to do. And again, without knowing the particulars of the case, it's hard to say. But I think the bigger point that you made was that, again, we have the letter of the law. This is what the law says. And with the spirit of the law, this is what the law intends. Now, I guess the law intends for general murderers to be held accountable. She did not seem to fit the category of a general murderer. She seemed to be in a very specific situation where, like you said, it seemed that murdering this person was the only way for her to free herself. And again, that's what I'm saying. You're right. Generally, murderers, I guess, fall into certain categories. She seems to not fall into that category.
That's what the judge actually said. He's like, she's never gotten killed before or after this incident. At least not, you know, during the 5 years is not up, obviously. But she doesn't seem to be a person that is a habitual, you know, violent felon.
Right. And again, I think that goes to the point we're saying, what's the purpose of laws? What is jurisprudence, right? Because if we're saying, if the judge himself in the trial is saying that this person basically had no choice, had no real recourse, was in a very rough situation, never committed a violent crime before, hasn't committed a violent crime since, yet because the law is written this way, there's no other way to interpret it, there's no other way to process it, right? It's like, well, why do we have laws? Because the trafficker, like you said, was breaking multiple laws. And the only reason he's not on trial is because of what this person did to free herself. So it does make you scratch your head and say, okay, are we a nation of laws, and what are those laws? Because it doesn't seem like the innocent citizen was protecting this case.
Tired of the same rap songs. Uh-huh. Every new hit should sing along. Yeah. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
I agree with you, and I think you touched on another topic a little earlier when you said that someone can be guilty, but they have means, which means they can hire a good defense attorney. I'm pretty sure that had she hired a better attorney, maybe she wouldn't have even pled guilty to the initial charges that she's charged with. Maybe she was able to show justifiable reasons why these actions occurred. But I'm sure that she probably had a public defender in the beginning, and you know, this was the best deal that she could get at that time.
Right, but that goes back to the big question, what's the purpose of laws, right? Because, you know, the purpose of money is to buy things. If you have lots of money, you can buy lots of things, or expensive things, or whatever you choose to do with it, right? The purpose of the law is supposed to be, and this is what is the question now, right? As far as we know, America, the United States of America, is a nation of laws. And the laws are supposed to be designed to protect the citizenry, right? The first 10 amendments of the Constitution are the Bill of Rights, the things that we can do. And, you know, the laws are supposed to protect us. I mean, that's literally the letter of those amendments, and the impression, the spirit of them is that as an American citizen, you have these freedoms, you have these rights. And then there's other laws that aren't supposed to supersede it. Nothing is supposed to supersede the Constitution. Yet you have laws that seem to not protect innocent citizens. And then, like you said, well, if you have the money and you have an attorney, they can then work their way through the system. So what's the purpose of the laws? Are the laws meant to be complicated and difficult and burdensome? Or are they supposed to point us towards justice where innocent people are protected?
Well, you make great points, and I think that's the dilemma we have currently in the United States. Is it the latter or the former? Because a lot of times it doesn't seem that the justice system is just.
Well, I mean, again, that's where we're asking the question. I don't have the answer either because, again, resources is not supposed to determine justice, right? It's not. It's supposed to be, and again, obviously we're simplifying things that are not that simple, but we are trying to draw a point here where if an innocent person, by innocent, someone who is basically victimized by another person, and then they use the resources or the means at their disposal, shouldn't the law defend that person in the sense that they're the innocent party, right? And again, you said that the laws are written to be very general. And that's true. That's a point in and of itself. In other words, if you're not looking at each situation for what it is, how do you really get to the heart of that situation? But more importantly, how could you generally ignore the fact that this person was the criminal, the trafficker, right? Because he didn't just commit a crime. He'd been committing a system of crimes against this person, probably other people. So it's not like he did one thing wrong. He's been doing multiple things wrong. This person now did one thing wrong, and it led to the death of this other person. And is that one thing suddenly bigger than all of the other crimes that were committed? And again, I think that goes back to what is the heart of jurisprudence, right? I do one thing, and that's overshadowed everything that was done to me. And again, the spirit of the law, are you trying to protect me? Because if you don't, if citizens aren't protected, then you're right. At certain points, they are going to take the law into their own hands, and then they're going to be punished for that. And they say, okay, so are the laws really designed to protect the citizens?
No, like I said, that's the question, the million-dollar question, basically, because, you know, I've seen situations where someone has been stalked, and the law is very slow and really has no answer to protect the innocent person that's being stalked by this other person. And a lot of times, the only recourse is to escalate it to you now are turning into the criminal, even though you're just trying to protect yourself. So those are very, I would say, very hard questions right now for our criminal justice system.
Okay, I agree. I mean, the It seems in so many ways that our nation is at a real crossroads. For many years, decades, different points in time, we seem to have come to crossroads, but it really feels like we're at a major crossroad now. I know a few weeks back, President Biden had a press conference and he said, you know, we're fighting for the soul of the nation. And I think in that sense, we have to really question what is the soul of the nation, right? What are we fighting for? What are we here for? Because I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think that's the question of what's going on right now. So I don't know.
You know, just to add some more context to it, while I was looking at this particular situation, there was at least three or four other episodes, not episodes, but situations that were similar where, again, the person was raped or involved in sex trafficking, and they all ended up in prison, which is, you know, something that's, to me, would be alarming, that you're being victimized and put into sex trafficking or whatever. The only way, fight your way out, I guess you would say, and you end up in jail for trying to save yourself. That's something that's really concerning. And a lot of people, when they do hear about these situations, are very upset. And that's why I guess he was able to raise that much money through GoFundMe, because a lot of people are like, what do you mean this person was raped and they have to pay back money? That's crazy.
Exactly. Well, I mean, honestly, again, like I said, what is the purpose of laws? We're a nation of laws, but what does that mean? I mean, today's episode is the right to sue, which might seem a little confusing for our listeners because we're not talking about civil suits in that general sense. But I guess the real thing is what rights do we have and what's the recourse? It seems that American jurisprudence has become one of a cash transaction. People sue, people threaten to sue all the time. And it seems that our laws are more about accumulating wealth and resources as opposed to finding justice and protecting innocence. And I think that's the central question. What is the purpose of the law? Is it a protection of wealth and resources, or is it the protection of innocent citizens?
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet, and me, I'm the last MC still standing.
And I think that question will determine the future of these type of cases, because I mean, there's no question that murder is wrong, right? You shouldn't kill someone. But if you're kidnapped and you're trying to free yourself, that sometimes is your recourse. Now, I'm not going to ignore how you how it happens. I think about times, again, with the language, oh, I just did what I had to do, right? Well, what did you have to do? I mean, if you cut somebody's head off with a chainsaw, well, that can't be ignored either. So I think, to your point of not looking at specifics and just generally don't kill, right? Okay, that's true, but how did this person wind up in this situation? I think you have to pay more attention to the specifics in cases to really figure out who's the innocent party here and what is available to them, I guess. What is the system doing? What is the legal system doing to protect them?
Well, I agree. And this reminds me of, I guess, how the laws used to be in regards to battered women in the 60s and 70s, where, you know, they killed their husband and they're the ones going to jail because it wasn't seen as what the husband was doing as a real crime. You had no right to kill him. He was just, you know, trying to keep you in line, you know, and obviously that was flawed thinking back then, but a lot of people got away with, you know, doing things to their spouses, and, you know, when the spouses fought back or tried to get help, a lot of times it was ignored.
No, you're right. You're right. So again, I mean, I'm very sorry for this young lady. I'm somewhat hopeful as far as the judge and certainly the people that came to her aid. And I guess we'll see where America's jurisprudence continues from here. But as far as a call to action for our listeners as far as, again, today's episode, The Right to Sue, and maybe a better title is The Future of Law, right, or something to that effect. But we titled The Right to Sue because right now our legal system seems to be one of, again, cash transactions, right? If you have the right resources, you kind of get the law to go your way. And it seems that the origin of our legal system was protection of citizens' rights. So call to action, what do you think we need to see in American jurisprudence?
Well, I think that we need to have there should be a way that both sides of the story are taken into account when applying the laws. So it's not just that the law says don't kill, so you have to go to jail and you have to pay the estate of the person a certain amount of money, no matter what they were doing and to cause the situation. You know, there should be a way to evaluate what happened and make the appropriate assessment. I mean, in my mind, you know, a lot of the laws are just cut and dry and they're black and white. So if this happened, we don't really care why it happened or how it happened. This is the result that has to happen. And I think we need to be a little more tolerant and make sure that we're getting the right results.
Okay. Very good call to action and something I'm sure our listeners can relate to. I think my call to action is going to be to follow up on the idea that this is very complicated, that the law is complicated. And I don't think it is. I think our laws are supposed to be simple. I think our laws are supposed to, again, represent the Bill of Rights, the protection of citizens in this country. And nothing should really oppose that. I mean, everything should, all the laws and different statutes on states and local levels should be based on the Bill of Rights. You know, how can we protect the rights of other people, right? In other words, you can do what you want to do as long as it doesn't involve me or someone else and vice versa. So again, this person would not have been killed, the trafficker, if he wasn't trafficking this other person. So had he respected her rights, had the Bill of Rights supported her right to, as a citizen, to go about her business, she never would have engaged with this person. So long story short, my call to action is we need to get back to a simpler truth of the law that is supposed to protect innocent citizens.
Well said. Totally agree with that.
So, I mean, hopefully our listeners will get this. And we'll realize that you're right. So many things are happening. And we need to really get back to the basics in this country.
Yeah, we do. I mean, like you used to refer to what the president said a couple of weeks ago, we are fighting for the soul of a nation.
Definitely. So I hope our listeners get a lot out of this episode. I mean, we just wanted to cover this topic that you came across, Big Roop. And again, we do wish the young lady the best. And in a way, she is representative of our country. And we wish us all the best. And we're being victimized. And hopefully we can support each other in, you know, pointing towards justice.
Yeah, I definitely hope that, you know, this is a eye-opening, you know, episode and that, you know, more people are more aware of what's going on and can make their piece, you know, make their part heard.
Again, well said. And definitely thank you for bringing the topic up. For our listeners, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Roop.
And we are the brothers.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.